You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
What's up?
Day number one.
What is up?
There we go. That's what I was waiting for. It just took
forever.
Yeah,
I was going to say, were you going
to
talk at all? Because I was going to have to jump the gun and go for you.
I was waiting for the beat drop. It just took a little bit longer than I thought it was going to. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on day number one of Bills training camp over at St. John Fisher University. You are listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University is brought to you by Fiegel Car and Joy, Shore Border Attorneys, by Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. Bills head coach Sean McDermott already has spoken with the media. The players are on the practice field. That does include James Cook. We did, though, get some injury notes. Four players not practicing today. Tight end Dawson Knox, a hamstring. Right tackle Spencer Brown, back issue. Cedric Van Pran Granger, backup center, a calf issue. And then wide receiver, but mainly, I think, kick returner, Laviska Shenault, lower leg strain. Joey Bosa, though, not on that list. It does appear he's going to be practicing. To what extent, we don't know. I think
they have a snap plan for him, or a rep plan, I think were the exact words there.
Yep.
Deion Walker's off of said rep plan, as his back seems to be good, ready to go. And there's no second-rounder drama. There's no James Cook drama.
Oh, Landon Jackson also. If he missed it yesterday, he was taken off
the pup.
So he's all set and ready to cook as well. And then
the
rookie
class is ready. We have no drama. Trey White is willingly taking the cameras from Hard Knocks, which I love.
He is going to be a star.
But also, I feel like Sean McDermott's like smiling, like a small smirk, knowing that it's Trey White. Being followed by a lot of HBO cameras right now, he's probably like, yes, yes.
If it was
you do it.
I think that's the thing, yeah. So this is coming from Jenna Cottrell. She kind of made a statement that maybe many of us weren't thinking about, but I think is right, that Trey White is probably going to be a star for HBO's Hard Knocks.
Superstar, even.
And I think even to that of like McDermott being like probably happy about that, there maybe isn't a better person on the team that you could comfortably be like, the cameras can follow him around and he'll be fine than Trey White. Like, he'll have his normal awesome personality, the whole thing, and still put in the work and still be fine. That's very exciting. The big news, though, today, James Cook, full go. There is no hold-in, nothing. He's got, not pads yet, but his helmet on. He's on the practice field, ready to go. And really, Derek, it's become a thing. It's just at every corner this offseason, when James Cook could have made it interesting, could have really kind of dug in. He didn't. At every turn, and this even goes back to February when he went on the Nightcap podcast with Chad Ochocinco and Shannon Sharpe and said, like, I don't want to be a cancer. Like, I want to reach the highest of highs. I want to get paid. I don't want to be a problem, though, essentially is what he said. And he stood on business with that. He has not been a problem even once. It's been a lot of storylines for people like us, but ultimately, every single time players have had to report, they've had to be on the field. He's been there. The only one he didn't go to was voluntary minicamp.
OTAs.
Right? That was it. Outside of that, every time he's had to be somewhere and be on the field, he's done it.
And what was our message when OTAs were going on? Hold.
It was more your message. I thought there was maybe a chance this could get
interested. No, my message was hold. Hold the line. Like, nothing is happening. It's not mandatory. I'm okay. Like him not being there, perfectly fine with it. Lo and behold, it's like it was never a story to begin with.
And this is even
just like I said. And I very rarely get things right, so I'm not
going to
go on a parade, but I am going to pump the fist a little bit. Just like, yeah, I had always knew that was going to be the case.
But like, with practicing, though, it even gets to a point now of like
any worries about the accrued year? Is he going to show up one day and then bounce? No. If he's practicing, if it's not a hold-in,
he's in.
I think now we're at a point, and of course, we could find out stuff at noon when Bills general manager Brandon Bean is expected to speak, that they've actually already signed to a contract. That's why he's practicing. No word on that or anything
that would
like that
be wild.
Yet. That'd be crazy.
That'd be the plot twist to end all plot twists,
honestly.
That'd
be crazy. But realistically, we're now at a point with Cook. Yeah, it's retired. Like, at this point now, we'll talk to you in January, February, in the offseason about a potential contract, because now it sounds like he's just going to be here. And I think that's also partially because you look at the situations, Terry McLaurin with Washington and everything going on there. I did see a report today. He's in Virginia, but of course he had not reported to camp. And today the Commanders made it official that he is on the did not report list. Trey Hendrickson, not even in Ohio. He's in Florida.
Right.
Not reporting to Bengals camp. Where James Cook, not at all. But we'll get more on training camp as practice number one has begun. We go to St. John Fisher as Sal Capaccio joins us on the Western Hotline. Sal, good morning. How are we doing?
Good, guys. Good morning to you. Yeah, a really great day out here. Not a cloud in the sky. It's pretty warm. It's going to be really hot tomorrow. But right now, pretty warm. Morning practice, obviously. It's what the Bills do here. 9:45 a.m. they started. They've been on the field here for just over 15 minutes. I am standing on the far field right now watching some of the defensive players and watching Joey Bosa. First time we've seen him actually in a Bills uniform on the field since he missed OTAs at minicamp. Watching Max Harrison on the other side with the defensive backs going through his drills as well. So things are going. And, of course, James Cook is here and he is participating.
Yeah, so, Sal, on that, too, I mean, that's maybe been the biggest story for the Bills this offseason, but I was saying with Derek, it felt like at every turn where Cook could have either made this interesting or maybe dug in, he took the opposite route and did what was best for the team.
Yeah, I think so. You know what, guys? I'm going to go over and peek on him just to make sure, because I saw him stretching with a helmet on, with a Guardian cap on, so I'm assuming he's doing every drill. But you know what? I haven't actually gone over and watched him perform every drill yet or any drill. So I'll do that as we talk just to make sure and to confirm that.
All right. And then you mentioned Joey Bosa, too. It, kind of a big deal. He was somebody that picked up an injury, and a lot of Bills fans have mentioned putting him in bubble wrap. Does he actually have to play games? Which, of course, he does. But to see him be, quote-unquote, fully healthy for day one of camp is probably a big sign for a guy that I think many Bills fans are just expecting to be there on third down, passing situations, to be that pass rusher that Von Miller has been the last 2 years.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Joey Bosa missed all of OTAs and minicamp with his calf injury, but he's back out here. We do have a couple of guys that are not out here, most notably, I guess, Spencer Brown on the PUP list, Dawson Knox on the non-football injured list. Spencer Brown has a back injury. That's something that, what Sean McDermott said, a bit of a flare-up. Let's remember that he had some back injuries and issues early in his career. And then you have Dawson Knox with a hamstring injury. I would think it's severe enough that he might be out a while, considering they signed a tight end, Matt Sokol, a veteran tight end, to come in. So we'll see if that, how long that plays out. But when you hear those kinds of injuries, they could be a lot worse. And guys, as I talk, James Cook is running a pass route right now.
Oh, so there you go.
He is participating. So as I'm watching on the far side, Josh Allen and the other quarterbacks are throwing, and James Cook is part of the rotation with the running backs and tight ends right now. So that's good news. The other guys that aren't out here besides Knox and Brown that are on the injured list, center Cedric Van Pran Granger, second-year center. He has calf injury. And then Laviska Shenault, a kick returner slash wide receiver with a lower leg strain, I believe is the way Sean McDermott termed it. So those are the four guys not practicing today.
Sal, jumping back to Knox there, because you mentioned, they brought in a tight end, so there's a good chance this could mean Knox is out for a little while. I do wonder, though, if that's just the Bills, with it being a hamstring issue, are just going to say, hey, you know what, let's take this day by day. Let's not rush anything. You're a vet. You've been here. We'll get you working, ramped up, where instead of, maybe pushing it, that is an injury that can linger for quite a while.
You're right. You don't want to re-aggravate it, especially with a guy who's been here. He knows the offense. He's been a part of this organization and team and offense for a while. You don't have to push him. You know what Dawson Knox brings to the table. He's not fighting for a job out here. He's a guy that when he's ready to go to work, he's going to be ready to work. I think it's a great point. This isn't a young player who you have to kind of protect from, okay, we got to get him his reps, but he's also a little hurt here, and you got to kind of play it a little bit differently maybe to kind of manage all of that. Dawson Knox, they're going to play it slow with him, make sure he's ready. Same thing with Joey Bosa, but you know what? He's out here, and he's playing, but Sean McDermott did say that as that goes on, they'll be mindful of his reps. You know, because you have to as well with what's going on with Michael Hoyt, the suspension at defensive end. And as long as everybody stays healthy, they can have a good rep plan. But if they start to get any injuries at defensive end, now you're talking about Hoyt, who's not going to be available for the first six games. So, you know, what does that look like for guys you're trying to get in there to get reps? And then obviously Joey Bosa, making sure that you do everything right by him.
On Hoyt, Sal, Sean McDermott had mentioned, brought up the Hoyt and Ogunjobi suspensions, that they'll be challenged depth-wise early in the season and having to get their young guys ready to go, which it's great. The TJ Sanders thing taken care of last week, Deion Walker not having limitations to start camp, that is a big help, and Landon Jackson being taken off the PUP, it's perfect timing for these rookies to be able to try to hit the ground running here right away.
Yeah, I agree. I wrote yesterday at WGR550.com one storyline for every defensive position, and that's what it was for me for defensive tackle. How quickly can these guys get acclimated and play? Because they're going to have to do that. They're going to have to play right away. How quickly can they step up? We're talking about Deion Walker, TJ Sanders, obviously, and then even on the edge with Landon Jackson. So those guys have to play right away. They're going to have to play in the first 6 weeks of the season, and they're going to have to be ready. So how do you get them ready and make sure they get the proper amount of reps at the same time, knowing that they're a little bit green here and they're kind of on the job training, so to speak, their first year? But hey, look, this is the NFL. You got to come out here. And what did Sean McDermott say when asked about Max Hairston? It's the same thing. It's the same kind of message, which is, you know, we go out here and we start to work. This is day one, and you know, you had your OTAs, you had your mini camp, but we hit the ground running.
Sal Capaccio here on the Wester Hotline, live from Bills training camp, day number one. And yeah, Sal, I mean, he mentioned it also being like, this is real football now, you know, whatever they were doing during like OTAs and stuff like that. Although it's not full go yet. I mean, this is always kind of a thing we bring up once camp gets going. The first few days, it's like, yeah, but, you know, pads haven't been introduced yet. It's kind of tough to get a gauge on the offensive lineman and the defensive lineman specifically.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, that always is very tough. I'm standing here right now. You might hear somebody barking near me. That is Rob Boris, tight ends coach. So tight ends are working in front of me right now where they're holding the pad, someone's hitting, and someone's blocking. That's all they can do. That's a great example of it, which is, you know, not that they would be going full go necessarily in this position drill any other time, but right now that's all they can do. They can hold pads. They can put hands on each other. But, yeah, I look over the offensive line, which is just to my left, and I – see these guys standing there with their helmets on, but no shoulder pads, no leg pads. So right now it's all about the chemistry, the steps, getting the feel. When they do go offense against defense, they can just do it against air, and they can kind of, you know, touch each other, put hands on each other, but nobody's hitting each other right now. You have to wait until pads come on, and then you can see that a little bit better. And even when that happens, guys, it's more of an up thud, they like to call it. You're not taking guys to the ground, you know, but you are trying to block your guy off the ball. So we're going to have to wait a few days to see that.
Sal, when it comes to linebacker, for example, because you brought up the storylines at each position, Matt Milano, obviously, if he can return to his pre-injury form, but how much better of a feeling is it, though, having Dorian Williams working through the full season, leading the team in tackles last year, being now seen as a bit more of a proven depth commodity in case Milano isn't able to play every down?
Yeah, I just think it's so much more comfortability there, Derek. You know, I mean, like, they know what they have in Dorian Williams. And Dorian Williams really took, I thought, a big step from year one to year two, just the way that he was able to kind of process things, slow down as he got to the play. But he's not necessarily Matt Milano's level, but not a lot of guys are, right, when it comes to, you know, processing and being in a spot. But I think he learned a lot about play speed, about how to attack and make sure you stay under control. And the Bills really trusted him to be in that spot all year without Matt Milano. But when Milano was back, it was his spot. It is Matt Milano's spot again. Yes, it's a very important spot. Backup will linebacker, considering you have an undersized Matt Milano who's had some injuries, who's over 30 years old. But I'm going to tell you this. I look at Matt Milano right now. He looks fantastic out here. I think his body looks great. He has really worked his butt off all year. I know he's been in Buffalo a lot, working hard. And I think Matt Milano has a chance to have a really nice bounce back year. He's just got to stay healthy. If he doesn't, and he does miss some time, you do have a guy in Dorian Williams behind him. Next to him, Terrell Bernard. We know that he signed a contract extension. He also became a dad this offseason in May, guys. So congratulations to Terrell Bernard, first-time dad. And, you know, he's a guy that's missed a few games as well. And last year, that spot, Baylen Specter has been there for the last few years. He's had some availability issues. He's on the field now. He is practicing. But I think Joe Andreessen has a great, great opportunity to win that backup middle linebacker job. A, because of the unavailability of Baylen Specter, but B, because I think Joe Andreessen has earned that right after I've watched him throughout OTAs and minicamp and what he's been able to do.
I wonder if Andreessen also could be somebody that Hard Knocks really leans into with the local story. And then Sal, you bring up there, like he could be somebody that locks in a backup spot in his second year. That could be really big. Sticking with the defense here, Cole Bishop. Sal, I think you asked the question outright to McDermott. He has been somebody, you know, I don't talk the safeties too much, but he's somebody I look at, whether it's fair or not, you know, kind of just hit the ground running. He's got to be in that spot and not really being moved, and it has to kind of turn more into a Taylor Rapp, DeMar Hamlin, Derek Forrest kind of rotation. Is that fair to say for that second-year player?
Yeah, I mean, listen, here's what I would say about Cole Bishop, and I think Sean McDermott basically said this when he answered my question. It's Cole Bishop's job. He's got to go take it, though, and he's got to stay healthy. All that's really left is for Cole Bishop to stay healthy and stay on the field. If he can do that, this is his job. It's his starting job. And look, I think they plan on having Cole Bishop as the starting safety next to Taylor Rapp. But Cole Bishop has to be on the field in order for that to happen. They spent a second-round pick on him last year. You guys remember draft day, so many people thinking the Bills were going to, you know, maybe draft Malachi Starks. It was never,
guilty.
To me, I said it that day. It was never an option. The Bills were not going to overdraft over Cole Bishop. He's the guy. That's the guy they earmarked. They spent a second-round pick on him last year. And they really like Taylor Rapp. Taylor Rapp sets the secondary. He does what Terrell Bernard does for the linebacker. For the secondary and for the entire defense really as a whole, because he can see everybody in front of him. So I think the Bills are really planning on Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop. But boy, if Cole Bishop can't stay healthy, now you have a really interesting fight on your hands, because you do have DeMar Hamlin, who's been here, performed well last year as a starter for the most part. Not the high-end plays, but nice baseline job to do what he had to do. And you do have Derek Forrest, who you just mentioned, who comes over here now from Washington, knows the system pretty well. He's a guy that plays really, really fast and really, really hard. So, yeah, that's going to be really interesting behind those guys, but let's hope Cole Bishop does what Cole Bishop needs to do to grab that spot.
Sal, would it be a show on WGR if I didn't bring up the wide receivers? But I did love a quote that Sean McDermott had when asked about Josh Palmer and Elijah Moore, saying sometimes guys catch fire when they come here. And I love that quote because, A, we've seen that over the years with Josh Allen improving his play and also giving career years to receivers that have shown up here. And now I think to myself, A, that's a banger of a line, but also B, it makes me feel a little nostalgic about how far of a cry this team used to be from before that regime came and took over with the Bills.
Yeah, for sure. Right now, guys, by the way, just to give everybody a peek on what's going on, they are going to a little bit of, a little 7-on-7 goal line. A little 7-on-7 goal line with Josh Allen throwing the ball against the defense. And right away, Taylor Rapp makes a nice play to break up a pass. So there you go, right away. They're getting it going. And, yeah, that to your point, watching the wide receivers on the field right now, Keon Coleman, Josh Palmer, Elijah Moore, Khalil Shakir. This is where these guys are now going to start to have to show what they can do to be a part of this heavy rotation at wide receiver and make the team. I think that Elijah Moore and Josh Palmer, especially Palmer, Palmer's on this team. They gave him pretty good money. He's a guy that they targeted because of his specific skill set. And then Elijah Moore comes by right after the draft, the day after the draft, they sign him. And he brings in also a skill set that I think the Bills really could use.
I mean, I'm already seeing video, Sal, of Elijah Moore, just how quick he is off the line. I'm
going to
get irresponsible. It is what it is. It's fine. Sal, real quick here before we let you go and let you really zone in on practice, what else are you watching for here? Not even just day one, but kind of the rest of this first week.
Well, listen, we can't really, you know, report on number of reps, basically, right, for guys and things like that. But what we can do is take a look and see who's playing where, like Tre'Davious White with the starters. You know, is that going to hold? As predicted, like he'd be the first guy out there, right? But how much does Max Harrison play? I'm watching for that. I'm watching for those specific spots, like where at cornerback number two, who is there? How often is that person there? How much do they start rotating? What about the rookies? What about Landon Jackson on defense? I think those are the things that I'm watching out here. And, of course, you know, there's some underlying battles that you see, and maybe they start to grow as the training camp goes on. Like Cam Lewis and Jordan Hancock, what's their situation? Is one going to be a nickel, one going to be a safety? You start to get a feel for where they're placing these guys and what they're doing.
All right, Sal, we'll let you get back to practice. Thanks for jumping on with us, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, guys, thanks.
That was Sal Camacho there on the Wester Hotline. And a reminder that Sal Camacho takes you behind the scenes during Bills training camp with Sal's All Access Facebook Live on WGR's Facebook page, brought to you by Upstate Honda Dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, is your Upstate Honda dealer today. Upstate Honda Dealers, for great deals, visit your local Honda dealer today.
Yep.
I'm going to get so, so irresponsible with Elijah Moore. And like, here's the thing. I know it's camp. I'd mentioned it with Sal. They're not wearing pads. He looks like such a smooth operator. And Derek, you brought up it's a far cry from where we were a few years ago. This wide receiver core, and I guess even the feelings around it,
mm-hmm.
are a far cry from where they were this time last year, where
right.
it was a lot of bigger guys. You know, we're hearing way too much about Mac Hollins in July to feel any sort of comfort. He ultimately became a pretty darn good player for them, but at the time, that was concerning. Palmer comes in with underlying numbers that tell you, damn, that guy can get open, and he gets open a lot. And, you know, I even heard Sal bring it up today with Jeremy and Joe. Let's not totally look at last year as like the end-all be-all for Palmer. You bring it up all the time. It was a Greg Roman offense.
Yes. And
that does change what a guy can do.
If there are things that make my stomach churn for zero reason, Greg Roman offenses are one of them. Mm-hmm. We had to live that for a small amount of time here in Buffalo.
The first year always is pretty good.
First year's always good, but you forget that the passing game dies.
Yes.
And then you're just like, what are we doing here? Oh, okay, we're watching Greg Roman put eight people into another pile of humanity of eight people. Okay, yeah. Cool. Let's see if we can just not do that anymore. So with Palmer, there is potential there. With Moore, there is potential there. And I think it's more potential based on the fact that these are players coming off of extenuating circumstances that aren't like, I'd say worrisome. For example, last year, two of the veteran additions that were brought in, MVS and Chase Claypool, Claypool was bouncing around team to team, seemed to have some character concerns to him,
mm-hmm.
Value was at an all-time low sort of thing. MVS, he's battling with the dropsies, and he makes one good catch against the Bills in the playoffs, because of course he does, and
he kind of did that like every year.
Yeah.
You were sort of hoping that like, oh, we would get that one MVS game that, you know, Green Bay had for years. Kansas City had it as well. That obviously never New Orleans
does it.
Yeah, New Orleans
in the same
got it last
year.
Yeah.
So
he does it every year. Just didn't have it with the Bills.
I'm starting to take it personal, MVS. I don't know. Come on, man.
Yeah.
But I know it's not his fault, but I'm taking it personally. But again, stock real low. Value real low. Like it's kind of like this, oh boy, what are we doing here? But with Palmer, there's potential that is seen on a more positive light. And with Elijah Moore, absolutely more of the same. You got how many catches with that quarterback room?
Right. I even look at it too target-wise. The last 2 years, 102 and 101. And even 2 years ago for Palmer, 107 targets. Which, all three of those seasons would be better than any targets that a Bills receiver had last year, a Bills pass catcher had last year. Khalil Shakir led the way at 100.
And again, that leads me back to McDermott's opening line about the receivers. Sometimes guys catch fire when they come here.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal. Because you do have a quarterback that can elevate players' games.
I mean, you just flat out do. This is true even going back to 2019.
And not everyone's a guarantee.
And I'm glad you brought
it up. Look at MVS.
Right. Not everyone's a guarantee. It is not a... We're no longer at the point of they bring in a receiver and we can confidently say, well, Josh Allen's here, they're going to have a career year. That's not true anymore, right? They have had misses. A few years ago, Deonte Hardy and Trent Sherfield were
right.
not guys that hit. And I was a big Trent Sherfield guy, not as much as I am with Moore, but
right.
you know, I remember Sherfield, you had Waddle and Hill on Miami
and you're like,
lamenting the fact that Miami had let him go. They loved him as the number three receiver and ultimately gets here and essentially does nothing. He has a few plays spread around 18 games, and that's really about it. Hardy had a few flash moments, kind of the same as Sherfield, but it didn't work. But you've also have had John Brown and Cole Beasley, and even if we're just sticking with Josh Allen, his rookie year, Robert Foster popped off.
Right.
And essentially was nothing ever again, including the next year with the Bills.
Yeah, he kind of disappeared after that. And you do still see there are enough success stories here, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like the evolution of Khalil Shakir.
Either. Yep.
Mac Hollins becomes a stable player within the offense.
Even Isaiah McKenzie, who I love the personality, but away from the Bills,
he has not done much.
Kind of a non-factor for teams.
And I mean, of course, Amari Cooper comes over, doesn't get a whole year with the playbook. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to see him re-signed for the start of training camp, but he's been unsigned now by any team. So it seems like the entire league has kind of been turned off of Amari Cooper for some reason.
Yeah.
And I am curious about that. I'm still curious about that. I don't understand. But that is a topic for another day.
803-0550, the number two call. With James Cook in the building and practicing, that seems to be a bit of a dead storyline. Cook is here, even if he's looking for a new deal. But what are the storylines you are most looking forward to keeping track of as training camp gets going today for the Bills over at St. John Fisher? Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.